It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Roxo Media House.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode 47 as we climb closer and closer to number 50. Today, Texas Rangers right-hander Ryan Garcia, who's playing for the Down East Wood Ducks. A great story about this kid, some impressive numbers he's put up. But before we do that, let's go to the big league team and talk about them. Texas Rangers are 49-62, 3-7 in their last 10. They've lost last night, obviously. They played in Houston yesterday, and they lost. Back in town tonight for the Seattle Mariners. 22 games back in the West. Don't think they're going to catch up. 9.5 back in the wild card. I guess there's still an outside chance. Look, a lot of kids are playing now. They don't have a rotation right now. Everybody's getting hurt. They got two on the IL. I mean, this is going downhill quick.
Well, it is.
And it's all, by the way, all Chris Woodward's fault.
All right. I mean, you know, this is the situation with rotation is being compounded by the fact that the starters at AAA didn't really have a great year. So it's, you know, depth is such an important thing. And this team was kind of counting on some guys who just didn't develop.
Right.
Or their development
struggled.
Slowed.
Yeah.
And that happens. You know, this team has many, many flaws. It entered the season with many flaws.
Sure.
The front office admits it. And I guess, you know, that's kind of where it starts. And, you know, you talked about the manager getting a lot of blame here. And I wrote about that on Sunday. I'd talked to him in Anaheim.
Right.
And look, this guy hates it. You know, he hates not the criticism. He hates the losing. He hates the situation the team's in. You know, if there's something that a decision he makes that doesn't work out, it kills him. You know, he really hates it. And you know, I think that people still, and I've said this many times, lose track of. Yes, the Rangers signed Semien and Seager and John Gray and. You know, $580 million spent in the offseason to finish off the roster. But all along, the Rangers said that this is still a development year, that 2023 is the year. Now, expectations would be higher, and they want to see some marks met. But they did not give the manager, yet again, a kind of competitive roster to play with the Astros and now the Mariners and all the teams in the wild card. So when people want to say, oh, Chris Woodward needs to be fired, they got to keep in mind that this is kind of the plan. I mean, it sounds terrible, but this was kind of the plan. And keep in mind, the team won 60 games last year. They're going to get that easy. You know, they're 11 away. They have 54 games or something like that.
Yeah.
They're not going to go 9-46 to finish the year. You know, they're going to win. They're going to improve. They're going to have a probably double-digit win total improvement, you know, and that's pretty good. Now, is it going to be good enough? Now, the Rangers do have some benchmarks that he needed to hit that they felt this team was capable of. If it's 77 wins, it might be tough, but you also got to keep in mind, John Gray's hurt.
Right.
You know, they have one pitcher, one sure, not, I don't want to say sure thing, but one very thing you can be confident in the rotation. It's Martin Perez.
Right.
Dane Dunning has been better.
Right.
Glenn Otto's pitched okay.
Right.
You know, Cole Reagans is a rookie.
Yep.
I don't know what they're going to do Saturday. You know, is it going to be Dallas Keuchel? So anyway, the rotation has some issues. they're not being able to stay in the game. The bullpen's tired. We've talked about that before.
They're getting overworked.
Yeah. The lineup has been hit or miss, but still statistically a decent lineup. So it's just a flawed team, and I don't know how you can pin that on the manager.
And that's the thing. Look, and I'm not here toting the water for Chris Woodward saying he's the answer. I don't know.
Yeah.
If he had the roster I felt was absolutely capable of competing and should be competing, and this was a team that was on verge to win 72 to 75 games, absolutely, you could sit there and go and look at moves. But look, when you're making moves, trying to make moves that you think will work with a flawed team that doesn't have – I mean, he really only trusts a few arms in that bullpen.
Sure.
I mean, I think we all do if you watch it. I mean, it's real easy to do that. I don't know what else he can do. I think a lot of it is they want to see him get pissed off, go out, throw a fit, get ejected.
Yeah.
You know, do the Billy Bean thing, throwing things in the locker room. That's not Chris Woodward's style. Yeah. He's not that manager. But I've seen him mad, and I've seen him upset, and he hates to lose. But look, I don't know. I can't sit here and say he's the manager for a World Series team. I don't have any clue. Put a World Series team on the field, and let me tell you if he's a World Series manager.
No, exactly.
Then I'll know if he's a World Series manager.
You know, and the thing I pointed out in the story at RangersToday.com, $5.99 a month, $60 a year. He still has the clubhouse.
Yep.
He has not lost the clubhouse. The players still play hard. They are competitive. I know. The game Thursday wasn't very good, but this team is competitive most nights, and they're just missing the key pieces.
Yep.
And they have the young players who might make a mistake. They have a veteran who's worn down. They do have some veterans who make some mistakes in the field. That needs to be cleaned up, obviously, but it's just not, you know. And I told him this last year and in spring training again. I don't know if you're a good manager because you haven't had anything to manage.
Yeah.
And but if you look at the way he uses the bench, the bullpen's tricky, sure.
He plays the numbers. He's an analytics guy.
He is an analytics guy, but he also, like, you know, he knows that Nate Lowe hits lefties well.
Right.
And doesn't pinch it for Nate Lowe against a lefty. And that has worked out. You know, I mean, that's going against bucking conventional
Brad Miller pinch hit home runs at the beginning of the year we're working.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, I do want to see him get another chance with what should be a more competitive roster based on what the Rangers think they're going to do this offseason.
Which is a lot.
And we'll go from there. Yeah. They're going to have a lot of money.
Isn't there some money that falls off? Is it that
Odor and Elvis money goes away? So that's 20 something million, or right around 20 million. So, and you know, I don't know that Cole Calhoun returns. So there's another five.
Yeah.
Garrett Richards is another four, I think. So, there's going to be money to do stuff, and not just little stuff, big stuff.
Well, and I've said that, look, guys, if you haven't joined this Rangers Today, like he said, $5.99 a month, $60 a year, we do not stop because the season ends.
Yeah.
And this offseason, I think we're going to have some fun shows sitting here predicting what's about to happen, winter meetings. This is going to be a team. When the winter meetings and the GM meetings and those things come around this year, this is going to be a team that's going to be active. That name's going to be mentioned with everybody. Yeah. I think last year they were kind of ignored until all of a sudden – Semien and Seager were signed, and everybody was going, what the heck was going on?
Right.
Rangers said, we're going to spend money and we're going to play at the top of the game. And not only did they play at the top of the game, they were the top of the market.
Sure. I mean, they spent twice as much as anybody else.
Exactly.
And now, granted, I mean, the contracts, Semien has 6 more years, Seager has 9 more years, John Gray has 3 more years. But yeah, I mean, they're a player financially. And they should be in this market, and with their attendance this year,
still up. Yeah,
I mean, you know, the roof has been such a game changer for attendance. I mean, there's no way this team would be drawing what it's drawing if they were playing across the street without the roof, especially this summer.
Not with 100 degree weather.
So there's money. It'll be interesting to see. You're right. I think the winter meetings are in San Diego, which is where all baseball events should take place. So I'm looking forward to that. it's always a busy time. And I think, last year there was the lockout looming, the deadline, so the Rangers made all their moves before that. So
right.
It might be a little bit longer this offseason before they make a deal. But
right.
they generally will sign somebody quick. That's just kind of look at their history. They'll sign somebody quick in November, early December, and then they usually will get somebody right around Christmas or do something coming out of the winter meetings. They usually don't do a lot at the winter meetings, but coming out of it, maybe they've started the foundation for a deal or the legwork toward one. But anyway, it has a chance to be a good summer. But the first decision they got to make after the offseason is with the manager. And I think that they'll decide that he needs to go ahead and get that final year. He does have a year left on his deal. Go ahead and I think he'll get that chance.
Yeah, I don't think they're not going to extend him. By any means, they're gonna play out the year, and if they're winning and they're in first, then maybe you'll see something in the season where maybe they'll try to lock him up another year or two. But that's when he proves that he's the manager. Yeah. That he hasn't had a chance to prove that anyway. Yeah. I harp on that. And by the way, if they fired him, he wasn't a Chris Young hire. If they fire him, I'm not going to throw a fit because I like Chris. I mean, let's see what else someone could do. I just don't think he's the reason this team's losing.
Well, and they've talked about for the last two or three years, building the winning culture.
Right.
And playing the way the manager wants to play. Well, why would you just say and get rid of that? Give him the year. Give him, say, all right, Chris, this is your team. This is the championship team that we feel like we're handing you.
Absolutely. So
this is what we got to do.
You've got to at least be in the wild card. You cannot be. We want you to win the West.
Yeah.
But you need to be in this all year. That's what they're going to expect.
Sure.
If they do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
They still got to do it.
Right. But anyway.
And this system is so deep. They have places to go with it. This is a team now. John Daniels, we haven't seen it with Chris Young yet. He's not a big guy that goes out and he doesn't sign a lot of closers. He does it within.
Right.
A closer is somebody, seriously, if this team's going and you're having problems at closer, that's a trade deadline deal. You go get your closer in that year you think you're competitive and you can go get someone. But they like to go within on the closer.
Well, they did sign Joe Nathan in November of 2011.
Which was a success.
Great. Yeah, he saved 80 games for the Rangers in 2 years. I mean, that was a good deal. I'm curious to see if Jonathan Hernandez, he has power stuff.
He's looking good too.
Yeah, if that can be a closer. I would think that they need to go outside the organization. If they determine, all right, we need starting pitching. They've already said that.
Right. And
if they feel like the bullpen needs a guy, go get a closer for crying out loud.
Yep.
It's okay. I put Marcus Semien up here for a reason. Since he hit his first home run on May 26th, he's top 10 in the league in home runs. All right, this guy has
the guy who hit 45 last year.
Right, he hit 45 last year, didn't hit any for basically 2 months. He's been a very productive player. His numbers are down. The average is ugly, but if you look from May 26th on, it's really pretty good.
It's what they signed?
Yeah, it's what exactly. So and Seager had a three-hit game the other night. His average has been steadily climbing. He's been dealing with the calf injury. I don't know how much that's affecting his pop, but those two guys are going to be fine.
No, I totally agree. And when everybody jumped off, it was a bust when they were struggling at the beginning. Yeah. And it was like, everybody let's get acclimated here. Let's get going. They're proving to be worth the money they spend. I mean, look, you got to have alphas on the team. They got a couple alphas on the team.
Well, and, if you want to, get all mad at Chris Woodward. The second baseman was not a very good player for 2 months. So that's not going to happen again.
No, I don't think so. And the teams, they like it here. Those guys are and for those that wonder, I had somebody that commented last night about, these players don't seem upset when they lose. These players are upset when they lose. They're very quiet when they lose. When you go into the clubhouse afterwards, it's
–
That's not it. I mean, just – okay. Anyway, going forward, Seattle's here. Big John Blake and Ian Kinsler are getting selected to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Going to luncheon today. We're going to.
Yeah, it's a fun little weekend. It's good to see guys who from the past. I'm looking forward to seeing Chris Davis. Chris Davis is going to be at the luncheon, and he's going to be on hand for the ceremony tomorrow. Yeah, that's a good guy. I always, Chris and I, we always joke that we were rookies of the same year. And anyway, I haven't seen him for a while, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I'd like to see all those guys.
Yep. And those guys could be potential future guests on here also.
That's right. We're gonna have to
hit them up,
butter
them
up today, buddy. Yeah.
Well, anything else before we go to Ryan?
No, let's go talk to Ryan. He's got a really good story.
All right, guys, after this, we're going to come back. We got Ryan Garcia, and a good story. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Guys, Ryan Garcia, heck of a pickup out of UCLA, huh?
I want to see an outstanding arm, an outstanding young man, and somebody that is going to pitch at the next level. Just watch it. What's not to like about this youngster?
All right, and joining us now from, actually, they're in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The down.
No. Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Fayetteville, North Carolina. I don't know geography. That's not what you asked me to do here.
Carolina League.
The Carolina League. It's right-handed pitcher Ryan Garcia is joining us. Ryan, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. You know, just enjoying this beautiful humidity out here in the Carolina League.
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of gone from the extremes, the super dry desert, to sweating your you-know-whats off. But how is the baseball out there? How's everything going?
Baseball's been fun. I mean, especially missing it for so long. I look forward to every day, you know. I look forward to being at the field every day, seeing my teammates, and it's just – it's a blast. And like you said, like, both extremes. So, and I honestly, I prefer Arizona heat over this Carolina heat.
Yeah, right. Ryan is he's actually got a house in Surprise, as I recall. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's about two blocks away from the complex. So
yeah, no, really. I mean, that's great. That's great. Unfortunately, you were there a while. So just, you know, for the people who don't know, Ryan was the second round draft pick in 2019, the draft that included Davis Wenzel and Josh Jung. He made two appearances that year in Spokane, and his elbow started barking, and then it kept barking, and he had Tommy John surgery, and on his way back from that, he had some oblique injuries. So he's pitching COVID. Again. That's the biggest thing. He's pitching again. Just kind of talk about your journey, Ryan, for those who aren't familiar with it.
Yeah, well, like you said, I had two outings in Spokane of 2019. Remainder of that season, the Rangers let me take time off, and then coming back the following spring training in 2020, I ended up getting Tommy John surgery, and that was during COVID year, so it seemed like it was a blessing in disguise for sure. I wouldn't be missing much baseball because of the season being there, and so we're like, great, we'll get the surgery out of the way, be back in 2021. Lo and behold, I had a latch drain injury later that year, coming back throwing from TJ. That latch drain required 2 months of rest and rehab, and then building back up again. So basically just starting the Tommy John throwing program again. And then this happened two more times, so three latch drains over the course of the next 2021 season. And then I was able to get back from it this year in 2022, fully recovered and ready to go.
What did they pin down? I mean, how do you, you know, it seems very unusual for somebody to have three lat strains.
Exactly. And that was my question as well, obviously. And our doctors and trainers here are top tier in the country. And they even spoke to other team doctors as well, as like, what's going on with this guy? Is there an anomaly? Am I missing something, you know? Mm-hmm. And they all said the same thing, like, he should be fine. Like, it's just a small muscle strain. He should be healing fine. But it happened in three different areas in my lat. So it was just three back to very bad luck events.
Just bad luck. God.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, being a baseball writer, I've learned a lot about anatomy.
Yeah.
Things I've never heard about before. And of course, you hear about lats and obliques, because I guess those are the bigger muscles there. But like the teres major, the teres minor,
yeah,
intercostal stuff. And, you know, just it's amazing all the muscles that are back there that can be irritated and lead to something like this. But you're healthy now, which is great. You're pitching in down east. You went five innings the last time. This seems like it's kind of been a slow buildup, but it seems like maybe now, maybe not all the reins are off, but it seems like they're kind of letting you go a little more.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely a slow buildup. I think being gone that long, it just required near not as much as the same time required to build back up, but it required some more time than usual. Mm-hmm. And I think for the remainder of the season, we're just going to be cautious about it. You know, we're just going to have an inning limit, get my innings in, and then come back stronger next year. I used an analogy for myself this year. It's like I built a house to be able to play this year, and then coming this off season, I'll be able to fortify the house for all next season. Yeah, so that was my plan and goal.
Put a couple beams in there, maybe hang some pictures, you know,
start to decorate.
That's right. That's right.
Get ready to have guests over. Now it's time to have fun.
All right. So what's working for you? I mean, you're 2.53 ERA and 9 starts. What do you think is working best for you right now?
Yeah, I think definitely my fastball. My better games have been majority fastballs. However, lately I've been wanting to get more comfort with like off speed and whatnot. So I've been throwing that a lot more, still having success. But I think it's important to just be able to throw all these, especially for the future and whatnot. My fastball has been the best. I think it's been efficiency wise. And I'm getting a more understanding of how that plays off with my other pitches as well. So really trying to blend those all together with tunneling and stuff. And so that's been the progression I've gone through this season. And it's been really fun, honestly.
All right. Go through your arsenal. Two-seamer, right?
Four-seam.
Oh, well, all right. I had a 50-50 shot at it. But I thought, did you throw a sinker in college?
Mm-mm.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm just making stuff up here.
Yeah.
Okay, so four-seam fastball and?
Four-seam fastball, I have a curveball, slider, and changeup.
Okay, and which one do you feel most comfortable with in those off-speed?
We're going with slider right now. Curveball is on its way, and then I'll go slider and changeup are about the same.
Okay, all right. Stuff to work with.
What's the velo? What are you topping out at right now?
Topping out at 94. We're sitting about 90, 91. 92 later in the innings, but starting off is honestly been a little slow to start the games, but once I get going, I'll be sitting there.
Yeah, and that velocity I think caught some eyes when you were building up during minor league camp and your extended spring starts. There's a little more there, right?
Yeah, and honestly, velo hasn't been too much of a concern for me. Because I know I can get it up there if I really wanted to, but I think I prioritize the execution of the pitch rather.
Sure.
And I think moving forward, it's just been able for me to maintain where I'm at right now rather than overextend myself and then pay the consequences. And so I'm really comfortable where I'm at right now. Because I know if I were to overextend it, I'd have similar issues to what I had in this spring to where I had some slow rebuild back.
Yeah, I talked to you in spring training in early March, and then I called you again in May. You used the time well, and I know you're downtime, but you like kind of added some healthy weight. So I mean, just how much the picture that I don't know if you're going to be able to see or not. Is of you the day you signed your contract in Arlington, and you definitely look. Oh, granted, I know that was three years ago.
He's gotten older too.
You do look a little
thicker,
in a good way though.
Right? Yeah, yeah. He doesn't look thick like me.
You look healthier.
He doesn't look thick like me. He looks thick in shape. Thick.
But yeah, I think when I signed, I was like 180. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right now I've been sitting 205, so there's some weightage there.
But it's good weight. I mean, you know, when you have the injuries, you can't do much except work out.
Yep. Yeah. And eat.
So you've kind of, you know, I guess a lot of guys will say it. One of the blessings in disguise is the ability to get into better shape and condition yourself for what's ahead. So what did you do to accomplish that?
Yeah, I mean, we had a pretty scheduled weight routine throughout rehab. My trainer was John Perry. He'd build a 2-month weightlifting program, and every 2 months we would switch it to another one, and it was really good for me. The only thing is, you can only work out so much to a point where your muscles start getting tight, and then that does not help with throwing, because you need to be a little loose throwing. So
yeah,
you can only go as far as you are flexy, you know.
Sure. Well, you know, I saw this. Remember Kyle Farnsworth, the old major league pitcher reliever? He's now in bodybuilding competitions. And he was always big, and I always thought he was too big. And I think that, like, there was a theory that Ruben Sierra got too muscular. And anyway, I get that. And a lot of times, baseball players don't work out with the heaviest weights. It's, you know, because they got to stay pliable and all of that stuff. So it's interesting to see how you guys work out, because there's so many, like I said, there's so many little muscles there. You got
the muscles you and I don't know.
Yeah.
They have.
Right. Or we have them, just they're terrible.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not used. That's a good way to put it.
All right. So do you have any end of season goals? I mean, do you think you're going to get bumped up to Hickory, or are you just happy, like you said, getting your innings and building the foundation?
As much as that, I'd love to go to Hickory. I think the most important thing is obviously the innings. And then regardless of where I'm at, it just all comes down to pitch execution, you know? Mm-hmm. If I'm not making pitches here, I won't be making pitches up there. So what's the difference? But the good thing is that I am making pitches. So, it's almost like I can put myself anywhere, in a mental state, you know, I could put myself in high AA, and it all just comes down to pitch execution, you know?
Gotcha. All right. Well, good. All right. So that's the hard hitting baseball question portion, as I like to call it. And now John's going to play good cop, and we're going to get into a little more Ryan Garcia here than beyond throwing baseballs.
We can tell you're all worked up, amped up, and and ticked off right now. Now I got to bring you back down and calm you down. All right, you grew up in Pasadena, California. You ended up going to LaSalle High School. Is that right?
Yeah. So I actually say Pasadena because people aren't really familiar with the side cities as well. But I was born in Arcadia, California, grew up in Monrovia, California in the earlier years of my childhood, and then finally made my way to Sierra Madre, California. Okay. And that's where my family resides right now.
And LaSalle is the high school there.
LaSalle.
I'm an old Texas. I speak hick. People got to do with that. So let me ask you this. So did you play any other sports when you were growing up or in high school?
Yeah, growing up, it was soccer and baseball. And then right before high school, eighth grade year, I played football. And then I did that as well as my freshman year of high school. So I did football and baseball. And then I did stop and strictly focus baseball after my freshman year. I loved playing in football games, but the practices, it was just 90% practice for football, and it was just a lot of time spent there rather than what I wanted to be in my future, which was be a baseball player.
Were you a QB?
I was a linebacker.
Okay.
You made a wise choice.
Absolutely. What were you about to ask?
No, I just
making a comment off of that.
You made the wise choice there.
Okay, so coming out of high school, you committed out of high school to UCLA, where you ended up playing your college career. Did you have any other schools on your radar that you thought about?
Not really. The way I committed UCLA was kind of, I'd say, unique. I went to a UCLA camp, and I was at that time, I was still an infielder. My whole high school career, I played infield, pitched a little bit. I think I had 40 innings my senior year as a pitcher. But so I went to a UCLA camp and I played the infield. Then I asked one of the coaches, hey, could I throw the last inning of this game to pitch? And they said, yeah, go ahead. I ended up throwing. I pitched well. And then they said, you know what? We'll have him out for a visit. I came back to a visit 2 weeks later and then committed on the spot.
Okay.
Very cool. And your college career, let me run these numbers by you guys. I know that this organization is chock full of pitching, but I think that Ryan is a little bit unknown because of the injuries.
Yeah.
But these numbers, even what you're putting up in Down East, listen to this. UCLA was there for 3 years, 20-2 career record at UCLA, 2.11 ERA. His junior year, which was the year he was Pac-12 Player of the Year, he was All-American his junior year, 10-1, 1.44 ERA, struck out 117 in 94 innings. You're a strikeout guy, even now, 46 strikeouts in 32 innings this year overall in your pro career, 54 strikeouts in 37 innings. I mean, dude, you seem to know what you're doing. So it's kind of cool that you're under the radar, but this shows you how deep this organization is. Good Lord, man. Impressive. I just got to say that.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go to your draft. This is always what I love to ask.
This is going
to
be a good one. This is going to be good.
Yeah,
because... My prediction. This is going to be good.
This one's going to be good. Okay, so you're drafted in the second round by the Rangers. You were 50th overall. I always like to ask this question. Where were you when you got drafted, and how did you find out?
This is going
to
be good.
This is good. So where was I? I was at a regional playing a game. And so I didn't get the treatment of waiting at home for a phone call. I had to be, focused and dialed in on the game we were playing. I think we were playing LMU I can't remember. Anyways, so we had, I think, three guys drafted that day. It was really special. We had dads coming down saying that our first rounder went, our first baseman, during the middle of the game, which was hilarious. And then we had our second baseman get drafted. And then I didn't find out until after the game. We were shaking hands, and one of my teammates told me I got drafted by the Rangers. And then I walked up to my family on the side, and we took photos, and it was a special moment for sure.
Well, you pitched, right? You were pitching that game.
I did pitch. And then when I got here to the Rangers, trainer, I think Napoleon Picardo, told me that they were watching me pitch, and they're like, oh Lord, like, please, nothing happen, you know. It was fun.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
Now let me ask you this. So you, when did you first notice scouts coming to watch you and you think you really had a chance to go pro? Was it your junior year, or were you seeing some activity, maybe your freshman and sophomore year, talk to anybody? When did you first figure out, you know what, I may have a chance to play pro ball?
That came in high school for sure. Although I'd like to think that I was ready as a high schooler, there's no way I was. The maturity level wasn't there. Maturity level and baseball wise, for sure. I think that all really developed at UCLA, and I'm really grateful for that. But yeah, I knew I could get there in high school, but there was no way I'd be the person I was without going to college.
Now, in high school, were you being scouted as a position player?
They said that. I think they were being nice, honestly, because I wasn't bad as an infielder. But I think the eyes were more on my arm.
On your arm, for sure. Okay, so let's go outside of baseball. What are some things you like to do outside of baseball? Do you play golf? Do you hunt, fish? You're a California kid, so what do you do?
Well, this past year has been filled with more golf than anything. I think especially being a pitcher, it's important.
It's very important. It's vital. It's not important. It's vital.
That's something that I can work on the side as well. But other than that, I'm huge into technology and stuff. So during my TJ rehab, I actually built a computer for myself from scratch. I bought all the parts and then put it together. So that was an experience.
That's pretty sweet.
My son did that. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really fun. And then, so if it's not video games, golf, or just being with friends and family, that's pretty much it.
So where do you play in Surprise?
Golf. I played at Coyote Lakes a good amount of times. I know the staff very well. And if it's not any of the other retirement golf courses, I try to make my way out to Scottsdale, but it is a little over an hour each way, or combined drive. So,
yeah, the Scottsdale, during spring training, I hate going to Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Especially during the week, because it'll take, no lie, it'll take an hour and a half to get back.
Just because of traffic and
stuff? Just because of traffic. It doesn't matter which way you go. You're just going to wear it. So the goal is, if we do have to go over there, if the game's not over by 4, we are dead. Oh. So we just probably stay over and eat dinner and wait for the traffic to die down. But, it drives me crazy. I've covered the team for 15 springs.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never played a round of golf. I've gone to the driving range.
Yeah.
But I've never played a round of golf, and it kills me.
Because you just don't have time?
Well, yeah, you don't have time, but everywhere you go, there's these beautiful courses. We lived on our house used to be on a course, and God dang it, I would like go jog in the morning around the course, but boy, it killed me.
I've played out there one time, and if you don't hit a fairway, you're in sand.
You're in
out there.
Snake territory.
What's that?
I said sand, or you hit a house, because the houses are all.
Hit a house too, yeah. All right, so we got to go into food. What's your favorite? What is your favorite kind of food that you like to eat?
Yeah, I had to say probably sushi. I do love steaks, and I'd say sushi or any Japanese cuisine.
Ooh. All right, you're after my own palate there. I love Japanese food, and I love seafood and sushi. Okay, fast food. In a hurry, you got to do it. What's your go-to? What's your favorite fast food?
Ooh, Raising Cane's.
Raising Cane's. That's twice we've had that one.
I tell you, you know, that...
right next to the complex, so it works out.
Right. It's pretty new. That and the In-N-Out are new. Surprise is really... And apparently, Surprise is getting a Whataburger. Isn't that what...
They have two Whataburgers now, but you got to be an In-N-Out guy, right? You're a California kid.
Of course, yeah.
But no, Dane Acker said last week they're building a Whataburger.
Yeah, right. Close.
Close to the
complex. I have one by the Costco on Waddell. See, I'm officiated with.
There you go. It's on. Yeah, well, there you go. Well, you're a resident, so you gotta know these things.
So I gotta ask this because I'm a Texas guy, born and raised. I love Whataburger. It's my burger. I like it. I do like In-N-Out. In-N-Outs are in Texas now, and I've had them, and they're good. Have you tried Whataburger? Do you like it?
Yeah, I'd say I like it. That was actually the first meal I had after surgery in Texas. But regardless, yeah, I do. Like Whataburger. However, I would rank In-N-Out above Whataburger, but In-N-Out is not my favorite burger. I think it would be Five Guys.
Five Guys. That's some awesome. My daughter went to college. There was a Five Guys right there in Wichita Falls, Texas. Man, that's some awesome. That peanut oil and everything else they cook it in. It's good. That's a big burger. All right, so home-cooked meal. What's your favorite home-cooked meal, and who cooks it? Mom, grandma, girlfriend, wife, what?
There it is. Okay, so now we're back to steaks. I think home-cooked steak. That was another little thing I'd like to do during my time in Arizona was I got into watching a lot of YouTube videos on how to make the best steak.
All right.
So you cook yourself?
Yeah. I cook myself. My family cooked for me when I was in high school a lot. So, I mean, I'll give them a lot of credit. But I, when I was on my own, I was cooking for myself a lot.
Okay, so how do you make the best steak?
The way I know how to make a steak, and the I enjoy it most is when it's salt cured overnight in the fridge, and then you just make it how you would. But I think salt curing it in the fridge is really important. It takes away most of the outer moisture, but keeping the moisture inside the steak, and then as well seasoning it with salt.
So do you have a grill? Do you have like a Green Egg or a Kamado Joe or something like that?
I do have a Traeger and then Traeger. A sous vide as well.
Now, okay. do you have that in the Carolinas there?
Oh no, I wish, but that would be too much luxury. carry around.
Okay, well, then I got to ask this in because I am a steak lover. What do you have a particular cut of steak you like? I'm a ribeye guy. I just love ribeye.
I love a strip.
You're a ribeye? Yeah, see, it's got the perfect, it's marbled, got the fat in it that you need.
I like a strip steak.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? Ron and I know what we're talking about. You can sit over there and eat your strip steak. We're going to eat the ribeyes. Okay, last question. We'll get you out of here. So this is a fun one. We've asked this to everybody. We get great answers all the time. It's what's something that nobody knows about you. I'll give you some examples so you can kind of know where we go. You've probably heard these before. Jack Leiter hates peanut butter. Blaine Krim used to run around naked and hit the ball when he was 5 years old. Davis Wenzel had his finger cut off when he was 5 years old, got it slammed in a door.
Yeah.
What's some other ones?
Brock
Burks, the number famous one. Yeah. The famous one that went viral. Brock Burks, a sleepwalker, and had some stories about sleepwalking, getting up, and his roommates would freak out in the middle of the
night. Might have heard about those. You probably rehabbed with him.
Did you ever hear about Brock and his sleepwalking?
I think I've heard stories. The main thing he said was just not to mess with him while he's sleepwalking, because that's when it gets scary.
Okay, so what is something that nobody knows about Ryan Garcia?
Oh my goodness!
Well, see, he already told us he built a computer and is like a great cook. So
that's two pretty. Those are two pretty impressive. Good ones. That's pretty impressive ones. This might gonna be my IT guy when he retires.
Not many people know I have an AMG Mercedes. How about that one?
AMG Mercedes. All right. Yeah.
But
was that your one indulgence when you got that bonus?
Yeah, it was my dream car in high school. It was a 2015 E63 AMG, and I was able to get it when I got drafted, and so that's really special to me.
So you're still rolling in it?
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably keep that forever.
How's it handle the humidity? Or did you not take it to?
I did not take it here. No.
Okay.
So it's sitting in Arizona.
Just sitting there collecting dust.
In an Arizona garage right now.
All right. All right. Well, I like that one.
That's cool, man. Yeah. I dig that too.
And you know what? You should do that.
Absolutely.
If you earned it.
Hey, I'm indulging. I'm buying a pool. So, you know, you've already bought one. So,
yeah.
The only people that do know that I have it are the people that have driven in it. I don't really, like, show it off or anything. So,
you got another vehicle you drive more, and like your everyday car, and then that's your little one you bring out for special occasions?
It is my everyday car, but I do park it, like, far away. And then
in the complex?
Yeah.
Keep it away from the field so you don't get any home run balls. Or...
yeah, don't want any foul balls over there.
I tell you what, I was in Arizona last month, and there were some wild foul balls that went into the parking lot that I've never seen before. So, and they chopped down the trees. The trees used to catch a lot of those, but apparently were diseased, and so they cut them down. So they got to replant them so that the cars have some buffer.
Uh-oh, now you got him worried.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Spring training.
I'll start walking.
That's right, it's two blocks.
All right, anything else before we get him out of here?
You should get a motorized scooter or electronic scooter. Those are pretty fun.
I don't know if we're allowed to in our contract.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because
do with mopeds and such.
They can't have, while they're under contract, they can't take chances on.
Get you
a golf cart.
Is that the Fernando Tatis rule?
Could be, yeah. Who's it, Chris Sale that fell off his bicycle?
Yeah, you get a golf cart. Those are big in surprise.
But they're as much as a car.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to get that big league money for it first. You can get up there and get that big league money and get him a golf cart.
All right.
But he's in Texas and he won't be. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. No, hey, just thanks for taking time. I know you got a ball game tonight. You got to get to the ballpark and get ready for your next start and all that. So we really appreciate it, man.
Ruxo Media House is a streaming and production company located in Fort Worth, Texas. From video to podcast production and social media broadcasting, Ruxo Media House strives to deliver a dynamic media experience for clients and fans. With 15 shows, we have something for the whole family. Join the Ruxo Media community today.
All right, that was Ryan Garcia joining us. It was great to have him. Guys, it's time to go down in the bus leagues. We're going to talk about the minor leaguers all the way from low A all the way up. Actually, Arizona Complex League, too.
We could, yeah.
We could. This, if you're not watching that, guys, it's hard to get stats on that. You got to look up Arizona Complex League. There's, but the young kids are playing pretty well.
Yeah, they had a 16-game winning streak not too long ago.
And, yeah.
They've had some help. They've had Josh Young and Davis Wenzel and Kyle
so they're
Cody
a little bit
and
above
Dane
the
Acker. They've had some rehab guys who are a little more advanced, but they have some really good young players.
Young Latin kids that are just outstanding. Sure. But let's go to Down East. Down East is the low A. We go low A, high A, double A, and triple A, just in case we need a reminder there. Down East Wood Ducks are 52-53 overall. In the second half, they're 19-20. 5-5 in their last 10. They just won one last night. These are the kids. These are the ones getting their first full season. Some of them have been promoted up. You know, Acker, we talked to last week's playing there. He did okay his last start out. Maximo's kind of the best position player, I think, there right now still because Osuna got moved up.
They're, you know, it's kind of interesting. The pitchers who are drafted aren't going to pitch until the fall instructional league. So, if you're going to see any position players from the draft, it'll be at Down East, but it's got to be like there's got to be a need. Right. And I don't know if there's going to be a need, and that's fine. They can all hang out and surprise for a while.
Well, there used to be a short season that they used to have in Spokane. Used to be
The draft used to be in June. And, you know,
absolutely.
That month's big. They all shut down.
Yep.
And it's hard to get them built back up.
Absolutely. Okay, so we go to Hickory. High A, 54-51 overall. They're 16-23 in the second half, 3-7 in their last 10, so they're scuttled a bit. They won last night, a no-hitter.
Yeah, it's their second no-hitter. You know, these are combined no-hitters these days because minor leaguers, their innings are limited. But Mason Englert, who's behind you, former podcast guest.
Absolutely.
He tossed seven hitless innings. And then Theo McDowell, who was part of the previous no-hitter, finished up with two. So that's pretty neat. You know, I mean, they've had a rough second half. Their roster's been raided.
Right.
You know, you could argue that, you know, two of their three best players are gone and Owen White's gone, their best pitcher. So, but yeah, those are kind of fun.
Well, and Evan Carter, who's really climbing up the prospect rankings, 4-for-5 last night.
Yeah,
had a great night. He's still just performing outstanding. So young still. That's why I'm probably not going to see him in Frisco.
Yeah, you know, his birthday's later in the month. His 20th birthday.
Okay.
Maybe. He's now Baseball America's top Rangers prospect.
Right.
And, you know, I get a chuckle out of that after everybody crapped all over the pick, you know. And then so good for him, good for the Rangers. I don't know. He might get bumped up. There has to be a need, and there might be. But at 19, you know, and he didn't play a lot last year.
Is he a candidate for the Arizona Fall League?
I don't know. I think if he has a full year this year, they'd probably just let him take a breather. But
yep.
I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I think he's going to stay in Hickory.
Okay. There's real no rush to get him up here. He's just 19, about to be 20. Yeah. Yeah. But, man, he's impressive, and he's showing what Kip Fagg said when he said this is a potential five-tool guy. Yeah. And I think a lot of the prognosticators scoffed at that, but it's coming out to look that way.
Yeah, so good
Frisco, double A. Frisco went out there the other night, 57-48 overall, 21-15 second half, 7-3 in their last 10. They did lose last night. Leiter, his last start out, 5 2/3. He gave up a couple runs in the first. We ended up going 5-2, only the two earned runs in the first, 7 Ks.
Yeah, he pitched well. And he's been better.
He's starting to be better. There the other night, I saw Acuna look good the other night. Zavala was hurt when I was there. Did get to see Fernando Tatis Jr. Playing his rehab. He was a man among boys in there, but he didn't get a hit that night.
Oh, well, all right.
So, anybody there you need to touch base on? Or?
Well, you know, Dustin Harris is on the 7-day injured list. Not sure why. It happened yesterday while I was running around town, so I didn't get a chance to talk to anybody. You know, they are playing pretty good, though.
Yeah.
And Justin Foskey has been great.
Oh, my gosh.
Justin Foskey has been on a roll. So
he had two hits when I was there.
Yeah, so good for him. It's not like he wasn't struggling.
Right.
He just wasn't hitting the ball over the fence, and he's done that a lot more lately. So, good for Justin, who's a good dude.
And last but not least is Round Rock. Round Rock is 58-50 overall. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They have won three in a row, and there's a new third baseman in Round Rock.
Yeah, you might have heard of him. His name is Josh Young.
Yeah,
and,
tell me about this kid. What's the deal with him?
Yeah, you know, he's anyway. I just think it's some point in September when he gets called up, and he's a 40-man guy, or he needs to be a 40-man guy because he's Rule 5 eligible. So right. Do it now, get him acclimated, show him the ropes. A lot of, you know, all those cliches, but get him ready because, you know, assuming he stays healthy.
Right.
Which the last 2 years he hasn't, but
right.
He's going to be the starting third baseman for the Rangers next year. So get those wheels moving. But, yeah, he homered in his first game at AAA. I think he's had a hit each game so far.
Yeah.
And
two walks his first night, too. So he had a home run, two walks. I mean, the plate discipline. Guys, Josh Smith, fantastic. Ezekiel Durant's done great. That's not their – they look at Josh Young as their third baseman of the future.
Yeah, he's their third baseman.
Yeah.
And he did play some first in the complex league. And that's just, you know, if something were to happen to Nate Lowe or they needed somebody to go play first base, they would have Josh Young.
Well, they
got to
find bats for these guys, right?
Yeah,
because
sure.
they've got – the young kids are starting to hit, and they need to find places for them. And – as we get through August, going through, like we talked about, you know, on the big league things, that we could see some of these kids start to get a little bit of a chance here coming, especially when the roster expands.
Yeah, well, you know, it expands by three, so it'll be interesting to see how they juggle that. But I would expect Josh Young to be in the major leagues.
Yep. Well, guys, that's it. Congratulations to John Blake and Ian Kinsler, who will be elected into the Texas Ranger Hall of Fame this weekend. We're going to a luncheon today for them. But other than that, anything else before we get out of here?
Well, you know, just subscribe to rangerstoday.com for $5.99 a month or $60 a year or $35 for 6 months if you like that idea. And then also you got to subscribe to this channel. There's buttons, I think, in the works. So you can just click on it and voila, you're never missing an episode, and you're helping us reach our goals so that we can start making some money off of this YouTube thing.
Absolutely.
So, help a brother out. Help two brothers out.
Absolutely. Guys, that's it. Until next week, we'll see you at the yard.
Roxo Media House.